Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
1, 2, 3. Abigail. Rahab was the first, Abigail second, and then Ruth. The problem, I got them out of any chronological order according to the Bible, okay? So let's be generous there. But we'll try to take note of, especially tonight with Abigail. Okay. So Abigail comes into the Old Testament just after the transition to a monarchy or a king. And it is important. You'll see it tonight. You'll see it's important to get that. But just to kind of have that in your head, that one of the biggest transitions for the Hebrew people, God's people, was to move from a 12-tribe federation into what they would call a king or a monarchy type of government. Okay. Wait a minute, I said 12, didn't I? It might be 13. It's just all according to how you count, you know, because Joseph loses his place, and in his place, two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of those tribes, okay? I just put that out there for you, okay? So it's hard to keep track of them, but we've already moved now, and Samuel is the transitional figure. By the way, we're going to do Samuel. Has his own night. I didn't see what number that is. Samuel's all the way down to number 9. Okay, we'll do Samuel. I find transitional figures so important, and to me they're just exciting. You know that Jesus is a transitional figure. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because you changed from the law to grace. I mean, what bigger transaction can you make? You know, in terms of thinking about God and in terms of who is God, how do I relate to Him? You know, well, here comes along Jesus, says He's our Father, and He loves you no matter. I mean, that's pretty new. That's pretty okay. Just to say these transitional figures are, and Samuel is one of these guys, and they're so important. They have such courage to take on new ideas, is one way to put it. Now, of course they got God whispering in their ear. Of course they do. Yeah, well, so do we, come to think of it. what would you say, Ken? Yeah. And so when we start reading tonight, Samuel dies. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, just for tonight. But what I'm saying is, we're over the transitional period. We're into the monarchy. And surely we'll talk about that as we go through tonight. Some of these texts will take us right there. Just keep in mind now, they're trying, and it's not easy, okay? It's not easy to move from these tribal ideas into a unified government. These are not easy. Samuel anointed the first king, which was Saul, if you recall. Samuel anointed him. That didn't turn out so good. Okay. So Samuel then anoints David. And the problem is, you got two kings anointed at the same time. How does that work? You know how that works? That don't work. I'm sorry? I was a little trying to get that in there because it's going to cause friction. Okay, so we have that idea tonight, and we'll work on that in the text. Okay, let me see here. Okay. Well, I think there's 44 verses here, and I just think we're going to have to read them all. I You know, that's what I do. I try to cut that down, and I couldn't, okay? You know what I mean? I just couldn't, okay? So surely we'll get through it, okay? Amen? All right. Let's get started, okay? Now, Samuel died. There you go. Okay, so that time is over with. Transitional period is over with. You guys are going to have, you lose a transitional period. One of my friends, which is a great preacher, and he said it just wasn't fair to Saul that David would have Samuel at his side praying for him. You know, that mentor idea, praying for him all the time, but he didn't care for Saul. Once Saul was anointed, he just didn't care for him. I thought it was an interesting approach to it. And all Israel assembled and mourned for him. They buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. Now, David is staying away from Saul. Does anybody know why? Saul's going to kill him. Okay. Not just talk to him. Saul's going to kill him. Okay. And, there's one time, just missed him with a spear one time, I think, nailed the spear to the wall behind him. Okay, go to the next one. A certain man in Maon, I don't know how to pronounce that name, Maon, who had property there at Carmel. Now, Carmel is a place I'm kind of familiar with. That's where Elisha is going to do a great job at Carmel. Okay, the man was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats, 3,000 sheep. That's lots. That is a lot just to keep track of, which he was shearing at Carmel. And, well, that's where they get their wool from. You know, they shear the sheep every year. You're supposed to shear the sheep. That's what you do. Now, how they did that, I don't know. But those scissors would have been, I'm sorry? That's why I say, I don't know how they did that. Yeah. It's a job. I know that. I don't know if you've messed with sheep or especially trying to take the wool off of them. It's not a fun thing, okay? So, but they get together and they're shearing. His name was Nabal. And his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent, beautiful woman. The whole package, yeah. I mean, she's all there. But her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. It comes from good stock, Caleb. Yeah, that's great stock. You know, that's one of my heroes of the Bible. Who at 80 years old, they said, we got this hill country up here, it's infested, and we don't know what to do with it. We need some really tough guys to clean it out. And Caleb said, I'll take that job. At 80 years old, he takes the hill country. I'm going with the Caleb idea. Okay, let's go to the next slide. While David was in the wilderness. Now, what's he doing in the wilderness? Now, we call this guerrilla warfare. Do you know what guerrilla warfare is? Hit and miss? Yes. And you got to feed yourself as you go. You got no government to back you up. Nothing. You got to find a way to take care, feed yourself. Okay? And we're going to find out later, he's got, I think, 600 men with him. So it's a pretty good size army. So he sent 10 men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel. Greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Just a way to greet. To wish a person well. Okay. Go to the next one. Now, I hear that is sheep shearing time. Well, we know that. We know where he's at. when your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. That's important. Because out there, when the shepherds are by themselves, thieves and robbers can do what they want with them, okay, and get away with it. But they couldn't do that because why? David was in the vicinity, and he would not allow it. Okay? All right, we'll go to the next one. Ask your own service, and they'll tell you. Therefore, be favorable to my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. Then David's men arrived. They gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. I thought that was a really cool thing. Once you deliver your message, that's all you can do. There's nothing you can do from there. It falls in his court. Whatever he does with it now is what he does with it. Now, can you see what David's doing? When he says, whatever you can give them, would somebody like to fill in those blanks? Yeah, we're out here. We're hungry. Yeah. We're hungry, and can you give? And you're talking to a rich man now. Talking to a rich man. So what do you think David's expecting? Several sheep. Several. I'd like to have them clean too, if you don't mind. Yeah. How about some raisin and date cakes, huh? You got some of those around the house? I'm telling you, they understood what the request was. And David sent 10 men over there. That's actually a pretty good sized group to be sending some. All right, let's go to the next slide. Nabal answered David's servants. Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Well, he just said who he is. He's Jesse's son. Yeah. Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now, you've got the reply. I don't know about you. I would not be wanting to be one of those 10 men that had to take that message back to David. Not only did he say no, he insulted everybody along the way. Can you see that? Can you see where he insulted them? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah. Who is that? So, oh, he might have killed somebody. Did he kill somebody? Yes, he did. Let me see. Who was that? Might be. Oh, Goliath. Well, yeah, I remember now. Yes, I think he knew, because he knows he's the son of Jesse. I think he knows who he is. And he just, and we'll talk about him later, okay? But I mean, this is way over. He's going way out of his way to insult David. Way out of his way. If you want to say no, you could say no and find a way to do it with respect. Okay. But here, he's not given any respect. And these servants know exactly what this means. Okay. You'll see this a little later in the text. Okay. Some of us have a little, we're slow picking up because we're not in that culture. We're not in that time. But this is just way over the top. Is this right? Now, David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word David said to his men. Each of you strap on your sword. So they did, and David strapped on his as well. I hope you hear what's going on here. Okay. If there's one thing for sure, let me tell you. You mess with David, he'll kill you. He will kill you. That's one thing I know for sure about David, okay? He will kill you. And when he said, you strap on your sword, what is he telling his men? You're going to do some killing. All right. That as well. About 400 men went up with David, while the 200 stayed with the supplies. Okay, so that's why I guess got roughly 600 men. Now, what are these 400 men going to do? They're going to hurt somebody. They're coming out. They're going to hurt somebody. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, David sent his messengers from the wilderness to give your master his greetings, but he hurled insults at him. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. The whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Now, to me, the interesting thing is here. Is Nabal doesn't really know what he's done. He's kicked over the lantern in the barn, and he doesn't know what he's done. But look, here's a servant that knows exactly the situation. Now, why is that servant over there talking to Abigail? Why did that servant do that? He's one of those that will die. He's highly motivated. And there's only one to help. Let me talk to his wife because his wife is what? I'm glad you got that. Yeah, she's smart. He's what? Dumb. You can't talk to him. Don't talk to his wife. This servant, I wish I had his name. This story might be about him if we had his name. But it's a cool dude, huh? Yeah. When you call the company, you said, well, do you want to talk to the man that's in charge or the woman that knows what's going on? Okay, so he runs, he told Abigail this here. Okay, go ahead. That I actually hadn't thought about. Joan, that is excellent. I actually hadn't thought about that. Okay. I'm sure she has. I'm sure she's worked out quite a few. You know, not everybody's got money smart. Yeah. All right. Okay. So you see the servants know what's going on. The servants know what is about to happen. And the servant has skin in the game. He is desperate. And so he goes to the only person he knows to go to try to solve this issue. Okay? And her name is Abigail. I hope you learn to love her. I hope you do. And I hope you will see that this is just one lovely person. Not only is she smart, she's got courage to act. And we'll see it now. We'll see it, okay? All right, let's go to the next slide. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. he is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. So now you got these guys, and it looks like there's no way to help except maybe Abigail. Let's move to the next slide, okay? Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep. Now, how did she get them sheep dressed? Yeah, but I want to press you on that. She's organizing these servants in what to do. Huh? Go ahead. Some of that will come out later in the text. Yes to you, okay? But somebody has to get it from here to there. Somebody has to get it on the donkey. I mean, this is not a little bit. What'd you say, Joan? 200 loaves? Yeah, 200 cakes of pressed figs. Oh, 5 seeds of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servant, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. You can't tell him anything. And he might mess this up if you tell him. Because he doesn't want this to happen. And but this woman has got all these people organized and making this happen. That is not an easy task. This is not an easy task, guys. Okay? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And they're going to eat something. They're not going to starve out there in the desert. They're going to eat something, okay? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kim. Okay, go ahead, Joan. Oh yeah, but no, this is a servant who's precipitated this. Yes. Oh yes. Let's go back. I think you nailed that on the first time around. It. Why are these servants highly motivated? They're going to die. If they don't get this done, they die. This is a do or die situation. And I don't want you to lose sight of that. I want you to understand how dangerous this situation is. Somebody stubs their toe a long way, bunch of people die. I mean bunches die. If somebody stubs their toe along the way. It's easy. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. As she came riding her donkey. There she is, out there. And she knows how to ride. I think that's good. I think that's cool. That's not an easy task either. Hey, did you ever deal with one of these donkeys? I mean, they're just barely over walking. Just barely are better than walking, okay? And, of course, they will carry stuff, but if they don't want to, they'll quit and lay down. No, I'm telling you, they're a mess to deal with. So that's like the lowest rung on the ladder for any help in traveling or anything you need as a donkey. Yeah. All right. David, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. David had just said, "It's been useless, all of my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good." Okay, go to the next slide. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. That means, oh no, let me tell you again, if you don't understand, one thing I do know about David is he'll kill you. He will kill you. He's a dangerous man, and you better treat him that way. Nabal has made the big mistake of his life when he insulted David. That's what he's saying. Can you imagine what this time would be out there in the wilderness with? There's no king. They're just trying to get this kingdom together. Can you see that? That's what David's doing out there. He's fighting this guerrilla warfare. He's trying to get their one down to one king, try to get this together. And so there's just lawless people all over the place. Lawless people all over the place. And none of these shepherds or anything have a sword to protect themselves. I mean, they don't have weapons. I mean, that would be way out of. Okay, David and his men have swords, and they'll use them. And that's just the climb. And that's what he said. He said, I protected him all this time here. And what did he repay me with? Insults. I'm sorry? He doesn't have the sense for gratitude. Matter of fact, I haven't seen anything that he has sense for here anyway. But we'll read up. We'll read on. Okay, all right. But even the servants know how dangerous this is. They know, but not Nabal. No. Okay. Let's go. It's our next slide. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. That's great. I'm glad you put that right in there. Okay. All right. He is just like his name. His name means fool. And folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my Lord sent. And now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who intend... Now, you see, she's moved in there, and she's done what? She's made sure that there is no bloodshed. How'd she do that? With the meat and the cakes and... all line up all that and getting that delivered on time to cut him off at the pass. What's David going to do? Where's David headed? He's headed to Mount Carmel and going to kill Nabal and all the males that's in that group, period. All of them. And that's what he's doing there. And what did she do? She kept him from bloodshed. That's what she's doing. Okay. Now, guys, I like men. I get along with them decently well. We play good together most of the time. But sometimes, guys, women just have to save us from ourselves. And you know that to be a fact. You know, married men live longer than single men. Did you know that? Yes, they do. I don't know. I call it the nag factor. No, because she nags me until I take my medicine. Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. Do you know that this study, this was really a well-done study, that 50% of the people that see their doctor and get instructions about the medicine that they're supposed to take, they will not take it the way the doctor. Did you know that? 50% of people. That same person that won't take their meds will take their dog to the vet. And the vet will tell them how to give the medicine, put it on, and guess what? They'll follow it to the letter. And you've got to ask why. You just got to ask why. Okay? All right. Enough that I thought I'd throw it. But I want you to see her as the figure who saves people from doing stupid stuff. I want you to see her doing that here. You see what she's done? And there's no other person that could do this. She's the only one that could do it. Servant couldn't do that. No, she's the only one that could do it. And she does it. And she keeps David from doing a very stupid thing, like killing all those people. But that's sure where he is headed. Okay. Okay, let's go to the next slide, see how we're doing there. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my Lord, be given to the men who follow you. Can you hear her? How does she talk to David? Sorry? Respect, humility, and understanding too, because she understands how to talk about God and how to talk about men. But listen to her, how she does it. Did you ever hear? I love going out to eat with people. Okay. But there's always the bill coming. Okay. What are you going to do with that? Joan tells me, she said, you pay for it. But you got a man, we'll say another man sat across the table from you. You don't tell him anything. That's not what you do. You ask. Can I pick up this bill? That's how you do that. Take a lesson from her on how to talk and how to treat other people. Take a lesson from her. Haven't you ever done that with somebody? Oh, let me. You don't know if they'll let you do it or not. And you say, well, would you let me do this? And that's what she's saying to David. Let me do this. It's good for everybody. It's good for you. It keeps you from doing stupid. By the way, if he, let's say, he goes ahead and kills all these people. This is always a problem with David. You know why God didn't let him build the temple when he got king. Said, you know what is it? He's already got too much blood on his hands. And this would just add to it. This is a problem that David has. He will kill you. And he does. He kills a lot of people. He killed 200 Philistines for fun. I'm just telling you, this is okay. All right. The other thing he had an affinity is by women. He liked women. So David is laying on his deathbed and he's dying. Okay. And one of the guys standing around said, well, let's put a young woman in there and see what he does. So they get a young woman to lie in bed with. He doesn't do anything. He said, well, he's a goner. He's a goner because they knew how he was. They knew this guy. Okay? And this bloodshed was this was what he had trouble with. And what's she doing? What is she doing? Saving him from himself. I just think she is just miraculous. I like David too. Okay, I can get along with him, but man, I just think she is miraculous. Okay. Lord, your God will certainly make lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battles and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. That's how she talks to him. Now she talks about her husband. That dumb so-and-so, he can't find his way in and out of the rain. Let's go to the next slide. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living. I love that imagery. Yeah. Bound securely. Yeah. And who's trying to take his life, remember? Saul's trying to take his life. And a bundle of living. But the lives of your enemies will be hurled away as from the pocket of a sling. Okay. Go to our next one. Then the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel. My Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged him. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. Joy, I think of, I look at faith, you get this. Don't you? Does that remind you of anybody? It reminds me of Joseph. If you remember when Joseph goes before Pharaoh, and tell, oh, you got all this going on, you got this going on, you got that going on, and you just got to really organize everything and get everything going the right direction. And said, oh, you got to find somebody that can take care of this, Pharaoh. Yeah, you got to find somebody to take care of this. Of course, what does he do? He gets himself a job. And that, what is she doing? Yeah. When things start going well for you, remember me. Don't tell him what's in those words. Yeah, you got to unwrap those words to see what they are. Okay. All right. Go to our next slide. Are you getting a little feel for the story now? Oh, I just think she's marvelous. You know, you got this set up for really bad things to happen. And she steps right in the center of that in such a way to just cool it for everybody involved. Okay. David said, Dad, Abigail, praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. Now, David may have a lot of flaws. Stupidity wasn't one of them. Look at how he knows what's happened here. He knows down deep in his soul what has happened here. And he understands exactly the role that this woman has played in his life at this point. What a wonderful, wonderful woman. And just what a blessing she is to David. Just what a blessing she is. Israel, may you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Now, how's he talking to her? Respect, gratitude, and humility. If there's anything I like about David is his willingness to admit he was wrong and to kind of clean up his act as best he can and go on with life. You can see him do it here. Huh? He recognizes, oh, I would have done something terrible if you hadn't stepped in here and stopped me. I would have done something terrible. Now, how did she do that? How did she stop him? Loading up all them donkeys, getting all this stuff together, organizing this, and getting out there in time to cut him off at the pass to get there on time. And maybe this would be a good point for me to say this. Try not to underestimate your value in this life. You see how easy it would be to underestimate herself in this scenario. What could she have done? Well, she could have said a woman ought to obey her husband. There's a lot of things she could have done that she didn't. She didn't. I just want to say, don't ever underestimate your place and your role in this life. And if I'm learning anything at my age, and I should be learning some things at my age, I'm learning this. If you don't do that, if you don't live your life the best you can, that this world suffers because of it. There's something here for you to do and to be that will be terribly missed if you don't do it. I got that with you. Did you get that with Rahab? Gentile, questionable morals. Yet where is she? Right there in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You don't know what your effects into the future will be. Just like this woman here. But boy, she went into action and she did her best. Let's go to the next slide. Otherwise, as surely as Lord lives, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonged to Nabal would have been left alive today. Then David accepted from her hand. Now there it is. He could accept it now from her hand. Why? What was her attitude? Humility? Respect? Those things will serve you well. Those things will serve you well. And have not come quickly to meet me. Okay, timing. Timing's everything. No one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. And David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." Now that's the story of Abigail. I hope that you learn to like her and to try and maybe emanate her in your life in some form. Just try to do it, okay? As best you can, okay? All right, let's go to the... Oh, Paul Harvey, we'll do a Paul Harvey here. Tom said... And now the rest of the story. Okay, this is a Paul Harvey. Let's go. Then Abigail went to Nabal. He was in his house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. Oh, this is at the celebration of festive time, Kathy. Yeah, I mean, you can see it all over here, okay? He was in high spirits and very drunk, so she told him nothing at all until daybreak. I mean, you ever try to talk to a drunk anyway? You can't do that, so she just... Yeah. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. There's a lesson here with this. Okay. Now, let me tell you. Guys and gals, you can only be so dumb and live. This is true. Okay. Not a great axiom, but it's go ahead. No. Yes. And every once in a while, we didn't raise a lot of horses. That is, we didn't fold. You know, we didn't have babies. We had a few, but not many. Okay. But every once in a while, a horse will have what they call a dummy foal. And what that means is the foal is so dumb that it can't find the teat to eat. And there's no way to keep them alive. There's just no way to keep them alive. Which, my axiom, what? You can only be so dumb and live. That's true. Okay? And this guy, David sent to talk to him reasonably. Well, he's going to die there. Okay. His wife comes to tell him, to talk to him reasonably, and he is so dumb he just dies anyway. No, you can't help him. You cannot help him. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. And while you're talking, I'm thinking too. This was not an easy task for her. And it was fraught with danger as well. Not quite as much danger as David and Nabal there, but still it was fraught with danger. She had to move, she had to act quickly and with the management with management qualities. Oh. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure this was arrangement. Yeah. Oh, sure. Adam, I'm with you on this. I tried to figure this out too. Go ahead. Yeah, if we carry this on, now I know this is not a good way, but say we carry that on, and I'm glad you brought it up, is if he would have helped David, what might that have done for him and his family in the future? Because this guy, this future king, and if you become favored with him, exactly. I think that's what I'm hearing from Adam. But I like that he just became like stone, and then 10 days later he died. Whew. Okay. Because what? A woman whispered in his ear. Now, what is it about that he didn't like? What was it that killed him? I know we say God killed him, and by the way, that's what the text says. Okay. But what was it that set him off there? Yeah, somehow we come to it. He's a failure. Oh, pride. Okay, somehow pride has got hold of that. control freak. Yeah. We just couldn't be without that control. Yow. Okay, let's go on and read the rest of the story. Ready? When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be the Lord." That come off a little crude, I guess. Praise be. Well, God be praised. Who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. That's a no-brainer, though, isn't it? I mean, just put yourself in David's shoes, okay? And what? And now she's, oh, doggone it, she's become a widow. Darn. And remember, what we know about David is what? He likes them. Yeah, he likes them. All right. It's a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. Yeah. Amen. Okay. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." How do you say no to the future king? But it does leave room for her to say no. Yeah, I think so. Okay. All right. She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "I am your servant. I am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my Lord's servant." Wow. That's a keeper. That's a keeper. Abigail quickly got on the donkey, and it was tended by her five female servants, and went to David's messenger and became his wife. And she took her entourage with her. She must have been an important woman. To have five servants that followed her around. Okay. I can't pronounce this gal's name. David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Pelatiel, son of Lesha, who is from Gilim. I'm going to call him Gilim. Okay. But you see what Saul's doing to him? Yeah, that daughter was promised to David. Yeah, and he's trying to make David look weak and unable to take care of things. Because when he killed Goliath, one of the rewards for that was what? The king's daughter. And I want to say that was Michal. And if you are to give, I think it's Michal. Yeah, just spelled with A-L and not E-L on it. Michal with A-L on it. I assume that's feminine. There in some form, okay. But and I don't know who this other woman is. I don't know whether we have anything on her or not, okay. But that she becomes wife, and then Abigail is the wife. But Saul's trying to embarrass by giving Michal away, trying to embarrass him and make him look weak. Okay. Now, that's even the rest of the story now. And so, where does Abigail wind up? Married to the king. It is good to know the king. It is good. Okay. And that's where how does she get there? By saving him from being stupid. Saving him from no bloodshed. And you do not know, and let me impress upon you again, you do not know what God has intended for the future of your actions here on earth. okay? And your actions are very, very important. You may not think of that now. You may think of yourself as being a nobody, but that's not the plan. Okay. Before we close, do we want to say anything else about Abigail or? Can you see why I like her now? I think she's marvelous. I think she's marvelous. Okay. And very often, let me say it again, very often, you women have to save us guys from doing stupid stuff. And I just want to tell you that, okay? And go ahead. No, you go ahead. Oh, that's good. That's really good. You know. Oh, no. Amen. I did this with Rahab, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Joan. Is I tried to point out where Rahab was acting in a masculine role. I don't know if you remember that or not, because she made this agreement as a head of her household, which is really a masculine role, especially in that day. Now Abigail does the same thing here. She takes on the responsibility of that decision, which was her husband's masculine role to do, and he failed at it, okay, but she went ahead and took it on and ordered all this thing and got all this constructed and got there in time for David. So I think she is acting in a more masculine role, okay, and I just want to say to you women, you really do that well. I'm serious. You can kind of switch those roles around and do that really well. I think better than us men do it, okay? But we do this. Now, we do this, but not nearly, I don't think, as well as you women do, in which we're grateful for. Okay, that is, we did Rahab, we did Abigail, and our next one is Ruth. And if there is a feminine woman, Ruth is that. Ruth is just that, okay? And we'll... And, of course, that will be the book. There's only 4 chapters in the book. So if you want to, you read that. Okay, we good? Just a couple of minutes over is all. So let's thank God. Lord, we want to thank you for such people as Abigail, especially when they're in our life. Save us from doing stupid stuff. And Lord, give us the good sense to recognize them when they're there so we can thank them like David did with her, to thank her for helping him. And Lord, let us learn about ourselves and your calling on our lives and what you have set us out to do. And pray, Lord, that we're worthy of our calling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.